Today is December 9th, 2007. This is Fidencio Marbella. December 19th, 2007. This is Fidencio Marbella with the Melrose Park Public Library. Also present is Heidi Krug, reference librarian at the Melrose Park Public Library. Today we'll be speaking with Charles Cusimano of Melrose Park. Charles was born on January 16th, 1945, and served in the United States Army from 1967 through 1969. Highest rank he achieved was as a sergeant. This is Melrose Park, Illinois, and the interview is being conducted for the Veterans History Project at the Library of Congress. Let's go ahead and get started. Chuck, why don't you tell us when and where you were born, and tell us a little bit about your parents and any siblings you have.
I was born in Chicago and raised in Chicago until I was 12, then we moved to Norwich. And my parents came from Aragona, Sicily. And
what did your father do for a living?
He worked on a machine. He was a machine gear cutter. Cut gears on a lathe.
And how about your mother?
She worked at a cookie company, packing cookies.
And do you have any siblings? Okay, let's see. Why don't you tell us, you served in Vietnam in the 1960s. Why don't you tell us how you ended up joining or being drafted into the U.S. Army?
When I was 18, I had to go down for my physical. And we were going through the physical line and all different stages. And we're all standing on numbers at this one room. And the sergeant told us, get dressed. Guys on number 10, 15, 30, 40, you're going home. And I was standing on one of them numbers. So out of curiosity, I asked him, why are you sending us home? And he told us, you're 4F, deferred. I said, why? Because they were just looking at us. We're all, no clothes on. He says, you've got flat feet. We can't take you. We'll take your mother first before we take you. I says, okay. So I went home. That was it. My mother said, what happened? I says, I can't go. My feet are no good. Deferred. So 4 years later, I get another nice letter in the mail. Come down and take another physical. So I'm set. My feet are not any better. I go down. Same thing. Standing on the number. He never called my number out. I said, oh, wait a minute. Let's talk about this. Let's look into this. My feet are no good. I was deferred 4 years ago. He says, not today. Keep going. And that was it.
Now, what year was this?
1967.
So, what was your reaction like after being deserted in the Army?
No way. Because I thought I was deferred. I was, if I had bad hearing or bad eyesight, they would defer you. My feet were no good. And they says, keep going.
What was the reaction of your parents like when they found out you were going?
I think they were devastated because you didn't know where you were going to end up. Naturally, we never thought we were going to go to Nam. So. Everybody was shocked. But he's got flat feet. He can't go. Yeah.
Okay, so then you had to leave for, I imagine, basic training after that. Where did you do your training?
Fort Leonard Wood, Missouri.
What was that like? What was training like?
It was very, very hard because I think they knew ahead of time that my company was going to go there. So they just made it brutal for us. Brutal. They did everything they could to see if they could weed out the guys that couldn't do it, couldn't take orders, and get rid of them before they sent us there. And in the beginning, they told us, when in doubt, salute. Don't take any chances. Well, two-star general went by. Nobody saluted them. And we had KP for a week just to teach us a lesson from 4 in the morning till 10 o'clock at night. We lost 1 week of training in boot camp. Nobody saluted him, and that was it. That was a kiss of death.
So how long did your basic training last?
9 weeks instead of 8.
What were some of the things that they trained you on, the basic training?
Hand grenade toss, hand-to-hand combat, marksmanship, discipline, more discipline. Right there, he went by.
Remember his name?
Yeah, the brigadier. Who was this guy?
Wilkins?
Could have been.
So did you ever forget to salute again after that?
Never. Nope. Nobody ever forgot. Not after KP for 7 days from 4 in the morning till 10 o'clock at night. Nope.
So once you got done with your basic training in Missouri?
Right.
Where did you go?
Fort in Washington, AIT, Advanced Infantry Training.
That was Washington State?
Yes. Washington, D.C., by the Capitol. I can't think of the name of the fort.
So what was AIT like?
It's advanced now. Everything was set up like a jungle village, exactly to the replica, and what we would do, what not to do, and what to watch out for, and that was another 8 weeks.
What were some of the things that they told you to watch out for?
Couldn't trust nobody. Don't trust nobody. Little kids with shoe boxes, shine your shoes. Don't drink the beer. It's ground glass in it. Just trust your buddy next year.
So you made it through AIT?
Made through AIT and... And they said one day was a sunny day. We're all dressed up, clean for once. And everybody got their orders. And all 200 of us. And they said, okay, when I tell you to open up your orders, open them. So everybody opened up their order and everybody started crying. And this guy next to me started laughing. And I says, what's so funny? He says, where are you going to me? I says, Vietnam. And he says, well, I'm not going there. And I says, why not? 199 of us are going. How come you're not? He says, nope, my orders say Southeast Asia. I says, you idiot. That's where we're going. Vietnam is South. He started crying too.
So after you got your orders, did you have a chance to leave at all, or did they send you right away?
No, I think, I really can't remember. It's maybe a week off, 2 weeks, maybe.
Did you get to go home?
Yeah, we did, because that's another story. Yeah, we did, I remember that. Got to go home.
What was your parents' reaction like?
Well, they were devastated, you know, I was the only son.
So after you finished your leave, they shipped you off to Vietnam. How did they send you? Was it by ship or by plane?
If I could have went by ship, which I wasn't lucky enough, I could have ate up 30 days. But they sent me on an airplane. We're there in 22 hours. I think we landed in the Philippines or Japan. And everybody got to get off the plane. And nobody could leave. They had all MPs around us, so we couldn't duck. You know, some guys might have said, hey, wait a minute, I'll take my chances. So we got off, stretched our legs, and got back on a plane, and we flew into Tan Sanut Air Force Base.
Now, what was your first impression when you stepped off that plane in South Vietnam?
It was like 125 degrees. Your fatigues just went soaking wet, just everything like somebody... Get you with a hose. Dusty as heck. Then you see all the body bags. They're bringing them home. All the buses had bars on the windows so the kids couldn't throw hand grenades in them while we're going to our base camp.
So then what unit were you assigned to?
I was assigned to the 463rd Supply Company. This was our insignia. We were supplies, had everything, ammunition, gas, food, water, everything.
So after you arrived in South Vietnam, what were your responsibilities?
I was in charge of five major warehouses. I ran them, took care of them, doled out whatever they had ordered that day, and resupplied them. And
now at the time, were you already a sergeant?
No, I was spec 4. No. I was probably a private, then I made spec 4.
What's a spec 4?
It's a grade under the sergeant. Then there's a spec 5, but a sergeant with hard stripes, a 3, is over a spec 5. And when I got there, everybody went here, some guys went there, some guys, so it says you're going to go to a place called Quy Nhon. Well, what's, how bad is it there? So they flew me in, and I was sitting in the Air Force base, and they put me in this little hut, and they said, you stay here, and you don't go till somebody comes and gets you. You don't leave here, because somebody will come and get you. I said, I'll stay here for the whole war. I don't care. So I'm sitting there all by myself. There was nobody there to keep me company, and they had a jukebox in the corner. And I'm sitting there, and nobody touched the jukebox, and out of nowhere, Nancy Sinatra came out with the song, These Boots Are Made for Walking. I went, oh, how eerie is this? And then they came and got me, and they brought me to the base camp.
How long were you actually in that little hut?
Oh, a couple hours till they came and got me.
And then what happened after that?
Well, then I went to my base camp, and the airfield that we were on was always getting rocketed and mortared because they wanted to blow up all the helicopters.
What airfield was this?
No. Mm-hmm. And then they brought us safer into this compound. They got us all out of there. They moved us.
So what was it like being mortared or rocketed? Tell us about that.
It's not too good. It's scary. You don't know what the fragments, shrapnel, the direct hit.
How would you protect yourself?
We had bunkers, sand bunkers. I got pictures of everything.
Those are pretty safe.
Unless you got a direct hit, which could happen.
So did your unit have any casualties at the time?
Oh yeah, We had a POW hospital, prisoner of war, right behind our barracks, and all the VC. North Vietnamese soldiers were there, and none of them ever tried to escape, because why should they try to escape and go back and fight again and maybe die? They had clean sheets, they had 3 meals a day, and they were just set out the war. They not one try to get out, but they were guarded like they'd be shot if they got out.
Did you have any interaction with these prisoners?
No. I could see them through the fence. They'd come out, they were clean, and they had a maid. The war was over for them, as long as they didn't escape.
Okay, so then, what year was this that you were on this base? Was it 68, by the way?
68, yeah.
So how long were you there?
I was there 14 months. You were there for a year. Unless your time was closer than, like I was drafted, I had 2 years to serve. So if I got there after 14 months, all I had to do was spend 6 months and my time would be up and go home. But I was there early, so. And then the Army had an early out program. If you had 5 months or less, if you got out of Vietnam, 3 months. If you had 3 months, 5 months or less, I can't remember. But anyways, I extended 2 months over there extra to eat up to 3 months. It was 5 months altogether. I stayed there 2 months extra. And when I got out of Vietnam, I was out of the Army. Everybody that I was with when we came there all went home. They said they could take the military stateside duty better than this. So they all went home for 30 days and had three, four months to do because they still had time. So I ate up my time. I had 14 months. I was okay. Oh, if you had 3 months or less, you're out of the Army. So I had to eat 2 months. So now 2 from 5 is 3, and I was out. I couldn't take going home again and then be leaving again and going back to up 2, 3, 4 again.
So by staying in Vietnam, you got more credit?
No, I just got out early.
Okay. So what was your reaction like when you actually left Vietnam?
Well, they took you out of the jungle one day, and the next day you're in the States. You're like an animal out of a cage. You know, you're...
Yeah, tell us a little bit about the living conditions.
We had barracks, and there was two floors, maybe 25 guys, 30 guys on each floor. And...
What was the weather like?
It rained for 3 months straight. The monsoons, nobody could fight. It was all mud, so that was good. But it rained for 3 months, and the rest of the time it was like 125 degrees. It was like over 95 degrees, 6 o'clock in the morning. It's already that hot.
Any air conditioning?
No. Yeah, no. Unless you were an officer.
Now, did you ever get a chance to take leave in Vietnam?
Yeah, I went to Hawaii, met my parents. Went to Hawaii.
What was that like?
Oh, it was only for 5 days, but it was better than nothing.
Did you ever get into like Saigon or?
No, never. I never left the compound except once. And that was it, because it was, once you left the compound, you're on your own. Anything could happen.
What did you leave the compound for at one time?
I got pictures.
What was that about?
I befriended a bunch of Koreans there. Yeah, the Koreans, there was two kind. The civilian Koreans that were hired by the United States to haul the food from the ships to the base. That was their job. The other Koreans were Army. Tiger Division, Rock Army. And I made friends with them, and they invited me up to their camp. And that was the only time I think I left.
And what was their camp like?
The Vietnamese feared the Koreans. Feared them because Koreans had no rules. They could torture, kill, maim, rape. They could do anything they want. And nothing was said. But if we did that, the Americans, then we were in trouble. Koreans had a free run out of Vietnam. Do whatever they wanted. Sure, these pictures are here.
So any other stories that you have that you want to share with us during your service in Vietnam? Any particular
this
that stand out?
We had an ammunition dump, and in 68, whatever it was, it went up.
Oh.
The sappers got in.
What's a sapper?
A sapper is Viet Cong. He's not a North Vietnamese regular. He's a farmer during the day and a Viet Cong at night, or Charlie, we called him. And everything was barbed wired, and they would take off all our clothes. So they go through the barbed wire, and you wouldn't hear it ripping. And they wouldn't get hung up. And they had all satchel charges on them. And they go in and blow up whatever they wanted to. And I got pictures of it. They blew up our ammunition dump. It burned for, I don't know, a long time. It was like back then it was $2.5 million. And that was a lot of money back then, 68. And the guy came out and shot and killed him.
What was the? Did we have any casualties from that dump blowing up?
No. Mm-mm. Nobody got hurt.
Except for the
sapper. Yeah. One, I don't know if there's 20 sappers or one or two, but...
Oh, they might come in groups?
Yeah. This way, one of them's got to get in. You know, there's probably more than one, but that's all we caught.
What else? Any individuals you want to tell us about?
Individuals? The greatest guys in the world.
Now, did you serve over there with any of the people that you did basic training with?
You're
all scattered.
One guy, I think. One guy, I think he was in AIT with me, and then I was surprised to see him on an airplane. He said I had a buddy to talk to, you know.
Now, what, can you be a little bit more specific about what your responsibilities were in the supply area?
When the trucks come in, the flatbed trucks, semis, we'd have to unload all the food and everything and store them. And then... when we get orders for them, because we fed like a third of Vietnam. We supplied a third of the soldiers. And then we would say, okay, send us this, send us that. Then we would pelletize it and put it on forklift and put on trucks and off we go, convoy it to all the base camps.
You actually rode in these convoys?
Sometimes, yeah.
What was that like?
I got another story about that. We were so well armed that nobody ever attacked us. That they were afraid to engage a battle with us because they wouldn't win. Because these supplies had to get through. They had to no matter what. And then we caught in the side of a, they made a makeshift cave. We saw a girl about maybe 13 and three of her friends in the cave too. And what they would do is mark down the date we came by, the time, and try to keep a record of when we had the least amount of fire cover. And that's the day you would get attacked. And we captured them. And they were spies. They were, you know, lookouts.
What happened to them?
Well, if the Koreans got a hold of them, it was... they would blindfold them if they talked or didn't talk. Probably raped a girl, probably. And threw them out of the helicopter. Tied up, bound, feet, hands and back of them, blindfold them. Out they go. Kick them right out. 500 feet up in the air. There's no way they could have lived.
Were any of the convoys that you were with ever attacked? None?
No. Mm-mm. We had the helicopters, tank, everything. Everything. Guy going with us. Minesweepers on the roads.
They would go before your time?
Oh, yeah. You have the minesweeper out there.
Now, how did you get promoted to sergeant?
I don't know. I guess I was a good leader.
So, after you're promoted to sergeant, how many people did you have under your...
200. Yeah, the whole company. Well, you know, that's my... commendation. I think I was making, when I got promoted sergeant, I was making $400 a month clear, which was good money. That was good money. $340 of it was regular pay, and $60 a month was hazardous duty pay. So I made $400 a month, and that was good.
So what was it like being in charge of 200 men?
Compared to $70 a month in boot camp. That's what we got, $70 a month.
So what was it like being in charge of 200 soldiers?
It wasn't that bad because everybody did what they were told to do. Told somebody to do something and you had to do it. There's no, I'll do it tomorrow, I'll do it in 10 minutes. You couldn't. This is the Army. This is not the Boy Scouts.
Some of the movies that you see about Vietnam today just show a really ill-disciplined army and a lot of slackers.
Like MASH.
Not even close.
What a joke.
Not even close.
What a joke. Like Klinger in the dress. Oh.
Nope. The real thing was a lot different from
that. Yep. Yes.
then you served enough time in Vietnam and got to leave. What was your reaction like when you found out you got to go home?
I was, you know, very happy. I made it out in one piece. And I said, if I ever get out of here alive, nothing will ever bother me again. Nothing. No matter what happens, everything's a piece of cake after this. Everything. No matter what happens. And it made me a better man.
So when did your parents find out that you were coming home?
I think it was in June, July 4th, I came home, or July 3rd. And they had a big sign out in front where my parents, you know, took a picture. Welcome home, Sergeant Cusumano from Vietnam. And they threw me a big party. And then I went on with my life.
So you flew back into the state?
We flew into Fort Lewis, Washington, Seattle, Tacoma. We flew in there.
Was that your discharge point?
Yes, yes. And they tried to get me to re-up, and they gave me a nice steak dinner, and they waited on me, and they were real nice. They didn't swear. And they says, oh, you got to re-up. I said, yeah, okay. I've had enough. And when we walked off the plane, I think half the entire fort was out there to congratulate us and salute us. We come off the plane with all tattered fatigues, all ripped, faded, and you know, and they all looked at us like, oh my God, we're gonna look like that in a year. But they all had to stand there and salute us, which was, you know, nice.
So how did you make your way back to Illinois after discharge from Washington?
We went on commercial airlines and flew into O'Hare. We had to stay there about a week or something to get debriefed and, you know, get human again.
What was debriefing like?
Well, just relaxing and taking it easy, and they didn't make us do any duties or nothing. You know, they didn't. We didn't have to do guard duty or KP. You know, none of that. Just relax and take it easy until they thought we were normal and sent us back.
Now, when you flew into O'Hare, you hear stories all the time about Vietnam veterans being treated badly. How were you treated?
Nothing happened to me. There was no protesters there. Nobody spit on me, and nobody. But I had my rifle.
You had your rifle still?
The Viet Cong rifle, SKS, with me. It was legal, semi-automatic. So I had all the paperwork taped. I went on the airplane with it, Pan Am. And I brought it with me in my seat.
How did you get that rifle?
Shot him. Shot him.
You were the one that shot the sapper?
Yeah. I took his shoes, took his cigarettes. Took his, this is what he did. That's a...
It's a cloud. So how did you, what was your reaction like when you first saw the sapper coming through?
They said anything out in front of you is fair game. Anything. Shoot. Anything. It wasn't our guys. It was them.
What was your reaction like after you actually shot him?
It felt good. It was
doing your
right thing. Did my duty. That's what my country told me to do. That's why I was over there. Stop the spread of communism.
How did you spot him?
He was coming out. He was done. He stood up and hit him with a 50 caliber.
Oh, you bullets that big. You had a machine gun?
Oh, yeah. I'm a deuce and a half.
Oh, you were shooting from your truck?
Truck. It's called our truck had 2, 3, or 4 50 calibers. And it's called the Eve of Destruction. That was the name of the truck. That's what we did.
Now, where were these guns on the truck? Were they above the cab?
Yeah.
Or the back?
Above this, you know. All sandbagged. All the truck was sandbagged. Took his shoes. They're made out of truck tires. They would take a truck tire and make sandals out of them. Maybe I find them, I'll bring them in and show them to you. Ingenious. And they would make the sandals for this thick. The inner tube was made for the straps. Here. I had that blown up. And the blown up picture, I can't find it. There's three guys behind her hiding in there. And like I said, they would mark down every time it come through. If it was ever a lull, they'd hit you. Lookouts. She was about 13, 12, 13. But you could see a guy over here.
How long do you think they were out there watching?
Who knows? Who knows? I went with the Koreans. This is all the pictures.
How long were you visiting the Koreans?
I just went one time with them. That's their Tiger Division, the Rock Army. That was their division. Like, we got the 82nd Airborne, and that was theirs.
Okay, any other final thoughts you want to share with us? Serving our country in Vietnam?
I'm proud I served. Very proud. I did my duty. Didn't ask no questions, just had to do it.
Do you have any difficulties readjusting to civilian life after that?
Yeah, yeah. You know, you were on edge. Never sitting next to a door in a restaurant. It's always sitting way in the back. Because they would throw hand grenades in. If you're right by the door, or we'll never sit by a window.
Do you ever keep in touch with any other Vietnam
veterans? No. Never joined, and never... There was a couple guys from Chicago, but I lost contact with them.
All right, well, thank you very much for sharing your stories with us.
You want to see these pictures? I'll leave with you.